Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, you folks. I want to take a break now. Go to your friends list, go to Facebook, go whatever. Tell everybody to tune in to Coach Dave. Go to Coach Dave, CoachDaveLive.com, because they're not going to want to miss this. We got somebody joining us this morning who is more radical than some of us are, believe it or not. Bevelyn Beatty. I'm going to jump right in because we're kind of limited with our time here this morning. Bevelyn Beatty is that wild and crazy black woman. And am I allowed to call somebody a black woman today? I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. But if I am, I'm going to say it. And if I'm not, I'm going to say it. The wild and crazy black woman, Bevelyn Beatty, who is one who's been, well, Sheldon, throw it up there on the screen, brother. One who's been painting over all the Black Lives Matter signs painted on the sidewalks in New York and various places. Show that. Bevelyn's going to join us. You get on the, I'm going to give you a minute. Get on Facebook. Get on your list. Say, hey, tune in now. Tune in now. Coach has got Bevelyn on with him. Go ahead and play that segment, folks. Everybody can get a feel for who Bevelyn is here.
They don't care about Black lives. They don't care about Black lives. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Defund the police. Refund the police. They don't care about Black lives. They lie. They liars. They're liars. They say they care about Black lives. They're saying to defund the police. All for the sake of Black people. The Black people doesn't care about Black people. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police.
Fuck you.
Refund the police.
Fuck you.
Sean, you can cut that off there now. Folks, that's up on our website. You can go and look at it. It says right here, she's had 1.68 million views of this. And Bevelyn Beatty she's a leader in this battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And I'm especially proud of the fact that some of our good friends, Ken and Joe Scott and others, are intimately involved with the life story of Bevelyn Beatty. Hey, Bev, thanks for getting up so early this morning out there in New Jersey and being part of it. You there?
Oh, nothing. Yeah. Thank you. You said something. It's okay. It's totally okay. Anything for you. Ken Bevelyn, already told me.
You sound so sweet and so soft and so compliant. What the heck has gotten into you, Bevelyn?
Jesus.
Yeah, but man, you're going against the flow, man. You are so going against the flow. Hey, Bevelyn, what is lit? I know it's Jesus, okay? I know Ken and Joe Scott. I know the people that you're associated with. Well, lit this fire. It has to take unbelievable courage, Bevelyn, for a black woman who swim upstream against this Black Lives movement. What's inspired you to do that, dear?
It's the word of God. I know the truth. I know the truth. I know what Black Lives Matter really stands on. You know, first and foremost, Black Lives Matter, even though the organization says Black Lives Matter, I know for a fact that they go against everything that a Christian stands for. They are against the Black man, more than we realize, against Black people. First and foremost, Black Lives Matter does not support the nuclear family, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So by default, Black Lives Matter does not support Black men, because we know in the Black community, one of the biggest issues is not having a father. And what is the nuclear family? It's the man as the leader, the woman as the helpmate, and then the children as the fruit of that relationship. They don't believe in that. They want to see a family with two women. They want to see a family with two men. Okay, so Black Lives Matter wants to take away our fathers. All right, we barely have any left. That's why you see young black men in jail right now and young black men shooting up each other in the streets because they don't have any daddy. That's strike one. Strike two, they support abortion. They support choice. The number one killer of black Americans is abortion. 28 million babies already, averaging to about 675,000 babies a year. The number one killer of us. And they support it. They're for it. They're for choice. The money that they get, they give it to Planned Parenthood. So that's strike two. Strike three, the LGBTQ agenda. Like I said before, and I'm so unapologetic about this, and I will never change my stance on this. Two men can never raise a child or a family together. And two women can never properly raise a child or a family together. It is sick. It is not the will of God. Okay? And so, first of all, by not having no fathers in the family, our kids are going to be set up for failure because they're against fathers. All right? By supporting abortion, our kids are going to die in the womb before they even hit the ground. That's why we are declining. We were 13%, we're 12%, and soon we'll be headed to 11%, all right, of this nation. And then on top of that, we cannot reproduce ourselves if we are living in an abominable relationship with two men or two women practicing homosexuality. On top of that, they're trying to feminize our men and emasculate our women. This is totally against God. So that right there, any Christian alone, no matter how good the slogan sounds, should not be supporting BLM off of that alone. But the biggest one for me is that they never talk about black on black crime and they support abortion. But listen, last year alone, only 9 to 16 black men were killed unjustly by white men, okay, white cops. Mm-hmm. They raise hell. They flipping tables. They destroying businesses. They ruining cities. Okay? But just this weekend, 62 black men got shot in New York and 12 died. Where was Black Lives Matter?
Mm-hmm. Devlin, you know, one of the things that's really, really impressed me from a distance, you know, I've done some activism. A lot of guys, people here in our queue, in our group, they've done activism as well. But I have to tell you, Bevlin, watching what you did, especially with you, when you and Ken were arrested, I think it was down there in Florida, and then with what you've been doing, painting over the BLM, Bevlin, I've been around. I haven't seen stones like that in a long, long time, dear. What? First of all, when you began to stand up and push back, where did you get the courage to do that? And number two, what has been the response to you from other black Christians? I don't care about the lost world. We, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. What's been the response from them, Bev? Where'd you get the courage to do it, Bev?
The courage. Dang, I don't even know. Okay. Before I got saved, right? Post saved, I was the type of girl. I was a fighter. You know, I really didn't pick fights. But yeah, you catch me in the wrong setting, I was probably going to put a fist in your mouth. That just was me growing up. Like, you know, we could either be real cool or we can get the party started, however which way you want it to go. And right. So I don't know. I think growing up, like, I had a lot of gangsters in my family. Like, my dad was a gangster. My cousins was gangster. Like, and I mean literally gangster. Like, I grew up in Charlotte because my dad was on the run for murder. So I grew up in this lifestyle of just, I mean, on my dad's side of just like war, like, you know, and mm-hmm. my mom was a trip too. And they weren't saved at the time. And so as I grew up in rough neighborhoods, I just, you know, I kind of had an edge about me. But the crazy part is when I got saved, God like kind of turned that around. He turned my heart around. He just, you know, he really purified me. But then he kind of gave me this righteous, indignant anger. And I remember at 7 years old, I got a dream. And in this dream, I was in my neighborhood and there were thousands of demons all around me. And I'm kind of cutting it short what I'm saying. But I remember I had just found out about Jesus. I didn't really have a relationship with him, but I found out who he was. And I remember calling on the name of Jesus and this sword came into my hand. And the sword was so long, I never seen the top of it. It went all the way to heaven. And I used that sword and I destroyed those demons. And I believe that was a calling on my life from God to be a warrior.
And you know, Bevelin, I see that warrior spirit in you. And it's funny that that warrior spirit was birthed in you in a secular form, wasn't it? And I try to tell people a lot of, one of the reasons I think men are so passive when they become Christians is we've been taught that, that old man died. Well, that old man died, but that old nature, the Lord birthed you and gifted you with that fighting spirit. And we don't lose that simply because we become saved, born again, members of the family of God. And so you've taken that fighting spirit and you've converted it into fighting for the things that are right.
That's exactly right. It's, you know, whatever you are, God made you that way. The issue is the enemy uses it in a perverse way for his benefit. But once you get saved, Jesus just changes you. He renews your mind. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you can have the power. But that same person that you were, you're still going to be that same person. You don't just, you know what I mean? But now it's pushed for the holiness, the righteousness of God. That's it.
You know, Bevelin, I was watching you. You have what I would call black privilege, and I'm sure that you understand that. I was watching those cops as they didn't know what to do with you, Bev. They didn't know what to do with you. Though you were a black woman painting over Black Lives Matter, and we all know the optics of a movie camera or a TV camera. People are watching this thinking, they're trying to think, how do we arrest this black woman without it appearing on the 6 o'clock news, right? So you're playing that angle greatly to your advantage. How are the police responding to you, Bev?
The police absolutely were so appreciative, Coach Dave. They were so happy to see someone standing up. And the fact that I was black, it was just like, it didn't make sense to them. You know, I guess they thought a lot of these black civilians were falling for the paint. Falling for the bait. But, you know, they were so grateful. And I'll tell you this, a cop told me this when we got to the precinct. And mind you, they treated us like princesses. When we were there, they fed us, it was water, they made sure we were good. But when I got to the precinct, I felt in the spirit the concern for the police. I seen their gratefulness, but I also seen that sense of fear and concern about what's happening in New York. Because things is getting real, for real, right? Tell you, there's only 33,000 police officers that police the whole five boroughs, okay? There's about 8 to 10 million people in New York, all right? Wow. First of all, the 33,000 police officers to be policing the five boroughs is a problem. So now on top of that, Mayor de Blasio pulls a billion. And me and you both know he's going to funnel that money and steal that money. He's definitely not going to push it for more programs and private security. And anybody who thinks that is stupid. He's definitely stealing that money. He's a thief, a liar, and the truth is not in him, right?
That's right.
So now, the police I've seen in New York is really a sinking ship. They see it. So now, every day, 35 cops on average are putting in for their retirement at the age of 20. Now, there's not even a guarantee that they're going to get it, but they're putting it in. Basically, they're quitting. They're leaving, okay? By next year, there will only be 20,000 police officers policing in New York because they are not hiring. They're not hiring, okay? And let's just say 2 million leave because of all of this stuff going on financially. How is 20,000 cops going to police 8 million people? How is that going to happen?
Not going to happen, Bev. Not going to happen. Let me.
It's not going to happen.
Let me shift gears on you, Bevelin. And I don't, if you would listen to this show, you would know that we spend a great deal of time here confronting Christian leadership, black, white, red, yellow, doesn't matter what it is. Bevelin, where do you think the black Christian leadership is in this? Certainly they understand what Black Lives Matter is all about, don't they? They understand that it's anti-Christian, it's anti-family, it's anti-everything that a black Christian man ought to be in support of. Where are the black pastors, you think, Bev?
I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not speaking for all black pastors when I say this, but the black pastors who are woke like me will touch and agree with me. Black leadership has made their color their God, okay?
Yep.
Christ is not their God. Their color is their God. They feel like their color went on the cross to them. Their color died to them. Their color was resurrected and at the right hand of the Father, black. Okay? That's all they know. So when they see Black Lives Matter, a lot of people, unfortunately, are shallow. And they only see things from face value. They don't like to read between the lines, and they don't like to peep game. For some reason, it's just not there for some people. And so a lot of these Black leaders, all they see is Black Lives Matter. And because they're Black, they go for it. And that's because they have absolutely no relationship with Christ. They have a form of holiness, but deny the power thereof. Okay? And we've seen this. I'm going to tell you something. Even before BLM pulled up, I already knew we were dealing with a large pool of fraudulent Christians, especially even in the Black community, because as soon as COVID happened, everybody's scared. Everybody's panicking. Everybody got more trust in a paper mask than the blood of Jesus. Amen. You're seeing people talk about, oh, we got to use wisdom. You know, we got to wear the mask. We got to shut down our churches because we just got to be safe for other people. I'm like, wait a minute, but where's the blood at? And if there's sickness going on, isn't the church supposed to be open so that you can heal? Isn't that one of the great commissions, to lay hands on the sick and heal?
No.
So, I mean, that alone right there will let you know where a person at their faith. You tell me that, you talking Chinese as far as I'm concerned, because you're not reading. What Bible you reading? Because it ain't the holy book. I know that, right?
Amen, so now, amen, amen.
For these leaders, these Black leaders, to even co-sign BLM, while they're blatantly telling you defund the police, when we know what the Bible says about our authority, you already telling me the type of person you are. Your color is your God. You do not truly know Jesus. So the response I've been getting, for the most part, you got a nice handful of Black folk who are woke and get it. And then you got the loud majority that's just like, oh, Black Lives Matter. She's a coon. She hates her people, this, that, and the other. And God's just been a vindicator through this entire thing. I mean, it's like he just bulldozes whatever trap the enemy has set forth for me, whatever kind of issues he set up. God just comes in and bulldozes. And I mean, man, when I say the kind of people that are connecting with me and want to stand with me, you know, only God's hand is on this.
So Bevelin, up to this point, you know, I know Ken Scott's history. I know Joe Scott's history. Had you, Bevelin, ever been arrested for your faith before?
Yes, before this. This is the crazy part. Before I got saved, I was arrested all the time. I lived in North Carolina, petty crime, just, you know, fighting, stuff like that, stupid stuff. Just, you know, young, dumb kid, partying all the time, got arrested. And then when I got saved, though, I started to get, like, as soon as I got saved, I stopped getting arrested. But then as I grew in the Lord and I became a radical, I started getting arrested again. So I got arrested. I'll tell you the first story. When I was in Maine, okay, I went to an event. My friend, I was, again, still growing. I was a Christian. I was still growing in my faith. But I had went to an event because my friend had just signed up for the Army. And she was headed to, I think it's base training in Texas. So we went out to celebrate, okay? While we're out, I go into a bathroom. And I see a guy in a bathroom. And this guy's about 6'3", 350 pounds, black T-shirt on, black cargo shorts on, black combat boots on, with a face full of makeup in the mirror fixing his lipstick. So when I walk into the bathroom, I'm appalled. So I walk up to the guy, and I'm not that tall. I'm like 5'6", 5'7". I walk up to the guy, and I say, hey, buddy, listen, this is the woman's bathroom. Now, you want to put your makeup on and all of that, but you could do that in a girl's bathroom, okay? He turns around, looks at me. He says, what? And he's like going off, right? And so then as he's going off, a bunch of girls in the bathroom start to crowd around me. And they're all calling me hateful. And they're like, hey, girl, on the phone. And they're all gazing up around me. And at this time, I wasn't new in my faith, but I had not been renewed of my faith. Okay? You know, you got to be renewed of your mind, but then you also got to be renewed of your fist. My fist was not renewed, and I was still liable to use them. Okay?
Right,
so as it all get around me, one of the girls come out of the bathroom stall. And as she comes out of the bathroom stall, she walks up to me, and now she got a finger in my face, and she's pointing at me. All of them are just yelling at me. So I feel like a rat in a corner. And so as she gets closer, she puts a finger in my face, and she, like, touches me with her nose. Coach Dave, I hit her with a three-piece combo, extra crispy, and she was on the floor. So that was my first. And I didn't get arrested for that, but I got summoned and got in trouble for that. And I tried to fight it. I'm like, it was a guy in the bathroom. What happened? They didn't care. It was, you know, Maine was mad liberal. So, yeah, that happened. That was my first arrest.
Okay,
my second arrest.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, my second arrest was in front of Planned Parenthood. And by that time, God had taught me, you know, I kind of toned down with my, you know, I learned to fight in the spirit and not with my fist anymore. So got arrested in front of Planned Parenthood. And then, of course, got arrested at Cape Coral. And then the last arrest you just seen.
So Bevelyn, your story is amazing, Bev. Is it true that you were arrested just recently? You were arrested and then went right back to the scene of the crime and did it again, Bevelyn. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Paul did that, right? So they arrested you, and they told you not to be a good girl. Don't do it anymore. And you left and went back. Did they re-arrest you, Bev? What'd they do?
No, they didn't, because I got inside information, found out which places to hit, and I knew there would be no police there. And so I said, okay, I'm sure we're going, because first of all, the one in front of Fifth Avenue was already messed up. So I'm like, all right, let's hit the other one. I really had plans on hitting three more that night, but it got so late. And the paint had spilled on me. The toxic fumes in the paint had me like dizzy a little bit. I'm like, listen, if I stay in this paint any longer, I might pass out. I got to go home. Right. So I went to Harlem first, and we just did kind of a drive-by painting, and we just kind of poured the paint out the car as we were riding. And we had our friend drive over it so it could spread it good enough. And so then when we got to Fulton, we was like, okay, we're not going to remove the barricades this time, because the one in Fulton is huge. It's bigger than the one on Fifth Avenue. And it's right there by my aunt, where my Aunt Jackie used to live before she passed away. And so we just went over there on Fulton, and we just started pouring the cans of paint on it and painting it and trying to get it spread out. And then these guys, a bunch of guys that were sitting out there drinking, they come to us and they curse us out. They're like, what are you doing? And we telling them, like, listen, they kill you. They hate you. How can you support an organization that hates you? He's like, yeah, we understand, but this ain't the right way to do it. You guys, there's a better way. We ain't trying to hear none of that. So they were starting to get kind of belligerent with us and violent because, of course, having the streets say Black Lives Matter is, I mean, life or death to them. It doesn't matter that their life actually needs to matter in their own household. That's irrelevant. But just getting someone to paint it on the street makes them feel special, and they're willing to fight for that. So, yeah.
Hey, Bevelyn, is it true the police are guarding these murals on the road?
They're only guarding the one on Fifth Avenue. So if you want to hit the one in any other borough, whether it be Staten Island, Brooklyn, I think they got one in Bronx, Queens, or Harlem, by all means hit it. The police are not guarding it, because the only one that may, and mind you, the ones that the other places where BLM is, the Black Lives Matter graffiti is, mm-hmm. is in the hood, in ghetto. And he only has one in Manhattan, right in front of the Trump Towers. And it's a middle finger to God. It's a middle finger to Trump. It's a middle finger to America. And he's doing that on purpose, and he's making it his business to protect that. Off for the sake of his political agenda.
Bevelyn, if you can give us just a few more minutes. I know I got a couple of guys who want to ask you a question. Hey, Bevelyn, this whole Black Lives Matter thing and what you're running to out in the streets, it's demonic, isn't it, dear? Isn't it demonic?
100%. 100%. 100%. I mean, first of all, y'all going into Nike. Yeah, I watched Coach David, the video on my page, if you go all the way down, I watched as they went into a Nike store, they ripped opened the metal barricades with their bare hands. I ain't never seen nothing like this before in my life. And they ran into that store to get any Nike sneakers they can get their hands on. Y'all out here stealing sneakers all for the sake of Black Lives Matter? Stop it.
Hey, man, stop it. Okay, somebody want to jump in here and ask Bevelyn a question? Go ahead, and I'll watch for it to pop open and bring in. Or somebody ready? Come on in now. Dale, come on in, Dale.
Hey, it's Dale.
Dale, that's my guy. What's up, Dale?
Not much.
Hey, how are you doing? Yes, I'm here. I have no questions. I know who you are.
I'm here.
Hang on, Matt. Hang on. Let Dale Socia come in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's not Dale.
Bev, I just want to thank you for coming on. I told Coach about you. I've met Coach probably about 12 years ago through Operation Save America. We fought many foxholes together. He's a great man of God. I just encourage you to keep
this
pressing.
This is a real deal.
Hey, Bevelyn, what can we do to help you?
Well, you guys could keep praying for me, and y'all can keep going out and doing what y'all doing. And just, I mean, the thing is, I'm going to tell you, my heart is for OSA, because OSA is probably the first organization I've ever really seen of Christians that take action and are willing to be radical and go to jail. So I want you guys to get out and line up with me if you can. If not, hit your own city, and let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's keep terrorizing the devil by any means necessary, because at this moment, it's so important more than ever that we do that.
Hey, Bevelyn, is there any way that we can stay connected? See, listen, we can turn out people that can help you, who will come and do some of those things. Do you have an email list, some form of communication when you're getting ready to do something, some of us could come and join with you? Or are you just a little bit more spontaneous?
Actually, go on my website at wellministries.org and sign up for our mailing list. And also, you can find me on Facebook at Bevelyn Beattie. You can find me on Parler at Bevelyn Beattie. You can find me on YouTube at Bevelyn Beattie. You can find me on Twitter at Bevelyn Z Beattie. And I think Instagram at Bevelyn Beattie. But definitely, I encourage OSA people to go to my website and sign up for our newsletter, and you'll be able to just get the best update. And then also, I don't want to put too much information out, because we got trolls.
But, that's right.
We got bugs. We definitely get a bug out to the right people. Definitely.
At Well Ministries. Is that what it is, Bev? At Well Ministries?
Yes. At wellministries.org. That's right.
At wellministries.org. Jared, maybe you can pull that up there for us. At wellministries.org. So we can get people can know where to go and get on their mailing list. And I think that's it, Jared. Somebody else, come on in real quickly.
Hey, Bev, I noticed that all those cans of paint must have cost something, monetarily. And I just wanted to say, with serving Christ, there is a cost. And how can we help you with that?
If you guys want to, you're always able to donate on my website. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it cost us a good grit, but it was worth it. Just donate on our website. And that's about it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I really don't like asking for donations because God just supernaturally does things. But at the same time, I'm not opposed to people wanting in their own heart to go and donate. So by all means, if you feel it, if God is pulling you to be a part of the help, you can go to my website and do so. And I'm so grateful and appreciative of those who are being obedient to the Lord.
At wellministries.org. At wellministries.org. So, Bev, have you heard from any of the big guys, Fox News, any of those that we think that are on our side, Hannity, Michael Savage, Rush, have they given you a platform at all, Bev?
I've spoken to him just yet. No, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've been so booked with so many appointments. I can't tell you now, but if you are connected with them and they want to get in touch with me, you got my information. You can give it to them. But I will tell you guys this. I'm going to tell you guys some good news, okay?
Yep.
So yesterday I was doing a show with David Harris Jr. And he is a strong Christian. He truly believes in the Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
And he told me and Edmay that Rudy Giuliani said that if we need his help, he would like to represent us.
Ah, praise the Lord.
So Jesus is good. He's pulling some things out of the bag. You know what I mean? So God is just opening up some doors.
Hey, Bev, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as we let you go here, Bevelyn, could you just give some words of encouragement to some of the more timid Christians out there and what it is that you would encourage them to do? Because, Bevelyn, listen, getting arrested is scary. Having people be angry at you is scary. Getting death threats and bad email, it's scary. And a lot of people just don't want to do that. What would be your advice to them, Bevelyn?
Man, I would tell you, it's time for you to listen to what God told you. He said that I would never leave you nor forsake you. And he also said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Stop holding on to your own. Die to self and serve the Lord, okay? Because it is worth it. If there is value in serving him, there is value in surrendering to him. And it may seem like a big cost, but God, he's a redeemer. He will give you back what you lost times 10. So that's all I'll say. If you've got to live by the word of God. The Bible says you build your house upon the word. So when the storms come, no matter what, you won't fall. And if you've built your house upon the word of God, you should know there is no fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And you go out and you serve the Lord with everything you got, all because of him, not because of your own image, not because you want to look righteous, but because you know God is good and you believe it and you trust in him. And he will do a miracle with you every time.
Bevelyn, you said at the conclusion of one of those videos, it was a very profound moment, in fact, when you were painting over it. You looked and you said, we have to fight to take our country back. We got to fight to take it back, don't we, Bevelyn? They're not going to give it back to us. Somebody's come in, they've grabbed our country, and we are going to have to fight to take it back.
Nope, it's one or the other. Either you are going to fight and take your country back, or we're going to be a communist country and Christians will not have any freedom, because that's the real agenda. It really ain't got nothing to do with black color. So when people tell you you can't say something about BLM because you're white, you don't fall for the bait, because the reality is we're not looking at the branches on the tree. We're looking at the tree trunk and the root. We got to take it up from the root. And we know that the root of this agenda is communism, and Christians will be slaves. They will be told to deny Jesus or die. So as a Christian, your sense of urgency should be up by 1,000%, because you know if this agenda is executed, Christians are in trouble.
If you're a Christian, you'll have that feeling. Bevelyn, you're a blessing. Let us encourage you. Anything you need, let Coach know. He's got a group of people here that's like-minded, and we will support you. So make sure you stay close to Coach.
We're in this battle together, Bevelyn, and God bless you. Say hi to Ken and Joe when you see him again. And we stand ready, able, and willing to come and stand with you, fight however you're fighting. And we just praise God for you and for the leadership that you've provided to so many of us. And somebody said to me the other day, where are the men? Bevelyn, where are the men? Where are they, Bev?
Man, I don't know where they at, but I'm telling them, come on out. Stop being scary. Now, I'm tired of being Deborah and all these Baracks out here. Where's my JQ? Let's go.
Come on in. Yep, come on in. The water's fine, right?
Yep.
Come on. Bev. It's warm. It's toasty. Let's get it.
Let's get it done. God bless you, Bev. Thanks for getting up early. I know you've been stretched to the very, very limit, and appreciate the time that you've given us this morning. We will be praying for you, and we want to lock arms with you and push back against this darkness.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, you guys. And I'm going to go back to bed.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Bevelyn. Thank you, Bev.
Hey, Bevelyn.
God bless you.
When my wife is watching your videos, my 8-year-old goes, are you listening to your spiritual sister? I mean, our family loves your videos. Yeah. I just want to let you know that. Thank you for everything you do.
Bevelyn.
Thank you.
Bevelyn, your impact is far greater than you'll ever know. Even not only in this life, but in the one to come. I'm telling you, your obedience and your willingness to stand up and lay it all on the line has been an inspiration to millions who wish they had your courage. Have some sweet dreams, Bev. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, huh? Wow. How hard is this thing? Yeah.
She's talking soft right now.
I know she is, man. I know she is.
She's out there. She tears it up. And, man, you're absolutely right. You have to watch some of her videos. And it's not just about what she does with the Black Lives Matter, what she did up in CHOPS when she gets up there, she knows the word. She understands the word, and she brings it. And if you go back to Hillary's house, you need to make sure you get in contact with her and bring her with you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I didn't know about her till just within the last, well, you know, God bless you, dear. So, I just want to know if she's doing some other stuff. Let's all go with her. Cool. The powerful picture of blacks and whites standing together against darkness is one of the things that certainly the enemy does not want to see. Somebody, come on in.
I'm in.
Anyone? Susan, are you trying to get in? I see your mic's open.
Dave? No?
Yeah, Rog.
Jump in here real quick. I think what impresses me so much by this young lady, as I've seen her videos, is she's doing what the disciples did. You know,
she's
doing what Paul did. You know, they confronted the evil, they confronted the leaders, and they got arrested. And I still believe, and, you know, we've talked about this on the queue, we're moving towards more of us having to get arrested.
We're scared to.
And pastors get arrested. That seems to be the direction we're having to go to. And it'll be okay. But she did what the disciples and Paul did. They all got arrested.
Here's the truth, brother. We're either going to be arrested on our terms or we're going to be arrested on theirs. There's no way around it, friends. And I don't know what it is about arrests that scare us, whether it's the financial responsibility, where it's the shame associated with it, whatever it is. But we have a lot of people who are really, really still programmed to be afraid of being arrested. And a lot of times that's a platform. It gives you another platform upon which you can stand, because we all respect Bevelin for her courage. What was her courage? She went, she faced the threat, she got arrested for it, and we sit back and say, man, I wish I was that brave. Well, why aren't we?
Dave, I really believe it's tied to employment.
Yeah.
People are afraid that if I get arrested, and they will, they work for corporate America, and they get arrested for that, they're going to lose their job.
Amen.
And then that plays into the debt structure of most people. They need that check coming in every week. So they're not willing. Their fear, as I believe, employment and debt is what's preventing a lot of this. Now, the older retired guy, the guy who's 65 and does shuffleboard in Florida, he has no excuse. He should be getting arrested.
Are you talking about me?
No,
I don't even play you. Okay.
I'm probably talking about me.
I was going to say, I don't play shuffleboard. I'd like to, but I don't have time to play. Bless you, Raj. Bless you. It should humble us. Really, it should. And as I said, it was profound, and most of you didn't pick up on it.
Well,
most of us are going to be arrested on our terms, or we're going to be arrested on their terms. And I think we'd be a lot better off if we picked the time and the place that it happened.
Amen. I think what I've heard is of everyone who's gotten arrested, it demystifies it. It removes their fear.
Yes, it does.
The first time, the second time. The point isn't that a small cost? Isn't that a small price to pay for who we are and what we're supposed to do? Especially knowing that everyone who gets arrested says it's no big deal after you go through it. And they show it. They're willing to go to the street again.
Yes.
And get because they've been arrested. So we just have it, and we don't know what it's like. You know?
I remember, Mark, I remember an interview I saw with Flip Benham when he was going to go to court for, I think they trumped up some charge, menacing or something stupid like that. And anytime you confront somebody, it's menacing, of course. And I'll never forget, they were interviewing him outside the courthouse in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the reporter said to Flip, Flip, what do you think, Mr. Benham? What's going to happen? He says, well, I think here in about an hour, I'm going to find out whether the Lord's going to put me in jail ministry or not. And I thought, my goodness, what a response. Maybe the Lord needs to put some of us in jail ministry, right?
Right, right.
And the people that I know that have been in jail, see, when guys get locked up, I'm talking about criminals now, okay? When criminals get locked up, when guys violate the law and get locked up, many of them, for the first time in their lives, realize that there's a higher power over them. Someone who can actually come, put handcuffs on them, take him to jail, lock them up, and totally and completely control them. Most people don't, I'm telling you, most of the criminal element does not understand that. Now, we understand it. We're Christians. We understand it because we have the restraining of the Holy Spirit. We understand the desire to be able to follow the laws and to obey the government. We understand all that. But there are many people who are open to finding Jesus in jail. Why? Because for the first time ever, they're not in control of their lives anymore. And so every time someone gets arrested, Bevelin or Flip or Rusty or whoever it be, man, just take it as another opportunity to minister to the lost. Understand why you're in here, that you're really in prison anyway. You're living your life in prison. You're locked in a prison of sin. Don't you understand? Jesus can set you free. It's a wonderful place to share the gospel. Come on in. I got some more things I can go to.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, Raj.
One other thing. I think the other thing is about this getting arrested. I think one key thing is that people who make the decision to move in this direction always keep it at a misdemeanor level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think you can cause enough havoc just keeping it at a misdemeanor level. If they arrest you for disorderly or trespassing, where you have to be careful is when your actions play into some of the federal statutes that then push it into some type of crazy hate crime federal thing.
Right.
So, for those that are thinking, I could do this, know your statutes, talk to a lawyer, know exactly what your actions should be and what they shouldn't be. It's like the people in St. Louis and their guns. The problem they had is they pointed them. If they had just kept them down, they would have been in much better shape. I don't think anything's going to come of that. But that one lady pointing the gun is what got her probably moving in the wrong direction and a corrupt district attorney.
Yeah, Roger. In fact, I saw today, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, they confiscated the gun from her.
Yeah.
And the gun they confiscated was inoperable. It didn't work. And then the police or the prosecutor's office took the gun and made it workable.
Yep.
How wicked are things, right? She had a gun that was inoperable. The police seized it as evidence and then repaired the gun so that it would work so they could present it as evidence against her.
Yeah.
It's so wicked.
It was a prop from one of their cases, and they did that.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Think about it, because when they become pardoned, they're going to have to return their guns to them, and now it's going to work next time.
Now it's going to work next, right?
Yeah. Now I want to step on where Roger was going with that. Sometimes yes, but then sometimes, Roger, we need to cross the line of obedience. And I think about the Mother's Day rescue, Coach, when we were up in Louisville, Kentucky, and those peaceful Christians, including, you remember, Chris Keys, was arrested for sitting in front of those abortion clinics, brother. And so, sometimes we're going to have to cross those lines of obedience. And what is it going to cost us? It could cost us a lot. And they did that. And it could have costed them a lot. But, that's where we're going to have to head to.
Dale. Not bad, but this always pulls people back a little bit when I say to them, you do know, don't you, that Jesus was arrested? You guys know that, don't you? Jesus was arrested.
It was a life sentence, Coach.
Got the death penalty, didn't he? But he was arrested. Well, why was he arrested? Because he was pushing back against the darkness, against the evil, caused them to be arrested. The Apostle Paul was arrested. The idea that Romans 13, that the Apostle Paul would write Romans 13 telling people to obey the government and then he himself not obey the government. Don't we call that hypocritical? Isn't it somewhere in the Bible where it says that we're to obey God rather than man? Yeah, idea of Romans 13 that we're supposed to, if they made a law tomorrow saying that you were only allowed a new law because of COVID, I'm exaggerating here, right? What if they made a law or a ruling from our governor that because of COVID, you're no longer allowed to have more than 3 children, but you have 5. But they say no family is allowed to have any more than 3. Well, and they said, you're going to have to pick 2 of your children to to eliminate. Are you going to obey that? Are you going to obey that edict from the government? Folks, are you going to obey that edict from the government?
The church will. The government churches will, Coach.
Let's stick with that because, Coach, we want – this is the craziness. We look at this, and I see the Christians, and they come out, and they blah, 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 and slam that Roman 13. First off, they do not understand. Paul began with all authority is of God. And when you reject God as the authority, you're no longer in a godly authority that you submit to. And I look at them and say, okay, so you okay with smuggling Bibles into China? We don't have to do it to the reproduction side. Let's just do the smuggling Bibles because, see, it's illegal in China. Yet these same ones that'll tell you you need to submit to the authority of the government, what the edicts of the government is, they're willing to violate another country's government, which means to smuggle Bibles into that country. That is a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Is somebody trying to get in here or somebody fooling with us, Jared?
No, Dave, I think whenever Dale is speaking, there's somebody that's bleeding in either purposely or by accident. So I think that's what's taking place.
Gotcha.
My name's Dale. I thought you were talking to me.
All right, Dale, what do you want to say, bud? Come on in, Dale. All right.
No, I'm still here.
Stop it. Stop it, will you? Hey, do me a favor, Sheldon. I just found it real quickly. I'm going to send it to you right now. Somebody talk about it while I get this to Sheldon.
I will, Coach. I'm going to go right back to the same subject. And we need to know our scripture. Daniel was literally, because here it is, we want to say out there in public, you know, when you're out in public, you got to submit the authority. Daniel was in his own chambers, in his own room, on his knees, simply praying. And he was arrested. This is why he was thrown in a lion's den. Why? Because the king's edict was that it was against the law to pray. So I'm telling you, brother, we have to watch this. This is crazy. Now, I'm not going to say go out there and do something violent against your neighbor like what Beverly did. People go, oh, that's wrong, 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 wrong. And I came back and I said, do you know when children take chalk and they write on a sidewalk, that's vandalism? No, no, no. I said, see, you want to say that what she did by covering up a mirror on public property is vandalism, yet but you're okay with children using chalk on a sidewalk. I said, brother, it is exactly the same thing. I said, so if you want to split hairs, this is exactly what you're dealing with.
Amen. 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 I'm looking for the scripture where they, maybe somebody can help me. I'm in Acts 4, Sheldon, if you pull that up there. When they arrested him, they commanded him, they let him loose, and they commanded him not to speak in his name anymore. Does anybody know where that is? Is it in Acts 4? I want you guys to see it. In fact, Sheldon, go ahead and pull up that clip I just sent you on Acts 4.
Acts 5, Coach. Acts 5, 529.
Acts 5. 5 what, Dale?
29.
Folks, this is important. Here we go. Let's start with, that's where I am. Go back up a little bit, Sheldon. Go to about 20. Go stand. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. They were out preaching. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, hey, boys, get up and go speak in the temple to the people, all the worlds of this life. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came. Those religious folks, they don't ever like it. High priest came, and they that were with him, and they called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and said, hey, sorry, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. And the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened it, went in by him there. So we had guards outside there. And when the high priests, the captains of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them wanting to do this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and said to them, hey, boys, didn't we tell you, dude, stop preaching in his name? Didn't we tell you to stop that? Now, you would think they would obey the authorities, wouldn't you? This says, and behold, you've filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. It's always about personal impact, isn't it? You're going to get us all in trouble. If you don't shut up, you're going to get us in trouble. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, hey, dudes, we ought to obey God rather than man. That blows Romans 13 right out of the water, folks. Paul, I'd rather obey God than man. Come on in here. Help me wrap it up. We got about 5 minutes left. I got some other. Wait a minute. Let me. Can I switch gears? Yeah, I can because I'm the host. I'm going to show you, take you from the ridiculous to the sublime. Sheldon, go to the stuff I sent you this morning. Click on the last thing. OHSAA guidelines. I was talking to my good buddy Norm. Most of you know Norm. Norm is still a high school football coach. And they're trying to get prepared for the football season coming up and wondering if they're going to be able to have a game, a team, a season. The Ohio State Buckeyes, they still don't even know if they're going to let Ohio State play football. If they do, it's not, the first game's not going to be until the 27th of September, if you can believe that. They don't even know. They're just going to, this is so crazy. So the Ohio High School Athletic Association yesterday put out recommendations for being able to play high school sports. Are you guys ready to show you just how ridiculous this is? All right. Keep going on down there. Here it is. The high school said schools should try to significantly mitigate exposure to COVID. Here's how they're going to do it, folks. Here's how they're going to keep all the athletes safe. Maintaining physical distancing while not on the field. So evidently, you can't get the virus if you're in a huddle. I guess you can get in the huddle and you won't get, I guess. Number two, they're going to require face coverings while not on the field. You do. Oh, now they're going to do it. They're going to eliminate another court of necessary travel. Ooh, instead of traveling to a school 20 miles away, you're going to have to find one only 10 miles away. They're going to reduce or eliminate sharing of common equipment. Oh, no, no, no. Does that mean everybody's going to have their own volleyball? Every quarterback's going to have his own football? Reducing or eliminate contact frequency with student athletes from schools. In other words, you can play against that other team, but no contact with them. Don't be shaking hands. Don't be doing any of that other stuff. I'm going to make them sign a pledge. Now scroll down. I'm going to show you how ridiculous we are in. How ridiculous. Okay, football. How about this? In football, the Ohio High School will be using rule modifications as well as some of its own procedural changes. And those changes include an extension to the team box to allow social. In other words, instead of your football team, as it is right now, during the game, the football team is on the sidelines. It's called the team box from the 35-yard line to the 35-yard line. So now they're going to say, no, we're going to extend it so they can go to the 10-yard to the 10-yard line so that all the players standing on the sidelines aren't going to be close to each other. It's also recommended that pre- and post-game handshakes be suspended. How about cross-country? What are those guys going to do? Well, with the support from the rules people, they're going to decrease the potential exposure to respiratory droplets by encouraging social distancing. I wonder if you're 6 feet behind the guy, are you allowed to run past him? Are you allowed to catch up to him, run by him? Limiting participation in, oh my goodness, field hockey. They're going to recommend some golf. Oh, that's going to be a good one. The OHS worked with Ohio's PGA. See, I always want to bring somebody else in that can blame. He said these are not mandatory, but rather items for consideration for schools. They have a list. We don't get to see what they are. In soccer, they got a list of rules. We don't get to see what they are. Volleyball, all of it. So, folks, we are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. So they want to have sports. They're going to put you out on the field where you're going to participate in sports. But yet, those on the sidelines, they'll be kept safe from the activity because they'll have masks on and social distancing. If you go in the game, you might get sick. If you're on the sidelines, communism. We're going to keep you safe. Is this ridiculous?
Government control. Communism.
It's just absolutely – how do you get into a football huddle? How do you do it? Oh, my goodness. So, Norm. Hey, Norm. You're not going to have sports. I'm just telling you. You're not going to have sports. It's where we are. It's what's going on. Unbelievable time.
Coach, the sheeple will play. The sheeple will make you coach. Even if you don't want to coach that, the sheeple's going to want to send their kids. The sheeple's going to control all of this.
Yeah. Well, again, it comes back to that whole, what is it called? Virtue signaling and public shaming and bullying.
Tell Jezebel's soccer mom that little Johnny can't play. You try it.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you something. You guys must have been on a football field, haven't you? Do you know that it's 80 yards from the 10-yard line to the 10-yard line? Jared, can you pull up a football field real quick? I don't know if you can. I'm sure you can. Also, I want to make a point to you. So there's a football field. Jared, take the one right there. Yeah, click on that one. Okay, folks. Look, I see where the team is. See where those yellow mats are? That's called the team box. That's where the players are allowed. That's where during the game the players are supposed to stand. They're not supposed to leave that team box, which is from the 35-yard line to the 35-yard line. Well, now they're going to extend the team box all the way to the 10-yard line. Jared, can you point on the 10-yard line? Can you put your highlighter on the 10-yard line? And then, Jared, go to the other 10-yard line. Do you have any idea how far out they're going to have that team spread? How can you have any team unity? How do you get a message to another member of your team when they're 80 yards away from you and you're wearing a stinking mask?
Hey, Coach, think of it. You want to put Joey in the game, and you're standing on the 10-yard line. He's on the other 10-yard line. He's got to run 100 yards to get in the game.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, first of all, Gary, he's got to run 80 yards to get to you, so you tell him what to do when he goes in the game. Oh, my goodness, Lord. We're just dreaming. It's everywhere, isn't it, folks? And I don't care what you think about masks. I don't care about what you think about social distancing. If you cannot see how this is all being manipulated, for what? I had a video I was going to show this morning. Maybe I'll save it for tomorrow. 13 things. Steve Dace did a broadcast. Yeah, I'll save it for tomorrow. 13 questions that you're not allowed to ask about social distancing and pushing back against the darkness, and 13 questions you're not allowed to ask. Help me wrap it up. Got a minute left. Anything. Jeff, you going to go to St. Louis out there? Still going out there?
We're still going, Coach.
Well, lift that banner high. Wish I could be with you. Just got too many items on the plate. Go to wellministries.org. @wellministries.org. That was Beverlyn's website. Sharing Jesus one city at a time. Pray for her. Send her a little bit of money. And help her to continue to do what she does. Oh, that we would all have that courage.
Hey, yep. Coach.
Yes.
I got word yesterday that Beverlyn wanted to come to St. Louis with us, but Pastor Flip advised her, you got your court date and stuff. Just hang back for this one. But she wanted to come. She was ready to go. Couldn't you imagine that?
We need to lock arms with her because she'll draw a crowd. She'll draw a crowd. And we need to get a crap past this racial divide. Hey, thanks for joining me. Yep.
Share Beverlyn's calendar on yours. That's one way we could do it. You know?
Good idea. Good idea, Mark. Good idea. And, you know, again, like she said, folks, we're worried about infiltrators all the time. It's really, really hard. Trolls. It's really hard. So when she, you know, when she tries to do something publicly like that, everybody knows it, and then they get infiltrated, and it's all a big mess. But it's part of the gig. It's part of how it goes, and we'll figure out a way how we can stay close to what she's doing and keep everybody alerted of it. Bless you all. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.